Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho Kenyon Drake!
We are full throttle ahead in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, kicking it around for the next hour. Week number 16 officially in the books last night with last night's win by the Miami Dolphins, 20-3. We'll get into that in a little bit. A lot of news and notes around the NFL. Big news around San Francisco. Starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, fractured thumb, torn UCL. He's out for a period of time. Trey Lance most likely will get the start. This line opened up at the start of the week with San Francisco as a 15-point favorite. It's now down on FanDuel to 13.5 as San Francisco takes on the Houston Texans. Other news, LA Rams starting running back Darrell Henderson. He's out for a period of time, 3 to 5 weeks, but the Rams do get back Cam Akers. Also, Sony Michel playing very well. LA, a 3.5-point road favorite this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. And then last night, Scott, our Miami Dolphins stepped up. They're above 500 now with that key victory over the New Orleans Saints. They were a 3-point road favorite, dominated from start to finish. Tua with a big day, 198 yards through the air, one touchdown, one interception. That defense forced a critical turnover right in the first quarter to really change the momentum of that ball game, dictate the tempo, and Miami becomes the first team in NFL history to lose 7 games in a row and then follow it up with a 7-game winning streak. This team is hitting on all cylinders, and partner, you'd nailed it on the head about 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, I tell you what, Joe, you know, when you think about it, you can be an optimist, a pessimist, however you want to look at it, but I being the internal optimist, I will tell you, if the Dolphins would have, you know, would have, could have, should have with everybody, I get that, but if they would have beaten Jacksonville, and the Jags are pathetic, and if they would have taken the bye after the trip to Europe when they lost to Jacksonville, instead of playing the Falcons and taking the week off like 90% of all teams do, and then they would have beat the Falcons at home like they're capable of doing, you know, they'd be in first place. You know, they would have a first place standing right now. They would be 10-5, but it is what it is. We'll take the 8-7 as a Dolphin fan. Somehow or another, I don't know how they control their own destiny because they did lose to the Raiders, who are at 8-7 as the Dolphins are. So you would think somewhere along the line that if the Raiders won their next 2 games, they would get in over Miami. But that, I guess that's not the case because the Raiders would lose out to the Chargers somehow or another. I don't know. But supposedly, they control their own destiny, does Miami. And how about that? Yeah, if you're sitting on that 33-1 or 36-1 ticket that I suggested a few months ago, listen, they're a product of their schedule, Joe. They are. You know, they shouldn't have destroyed the Saints last night. Two with his 5-yard passes and everything, but it was perfect. You know, you couldn't have asked for a better start for Miami with that pick six. That just eased them into that game. And, you know, Miami was, or the New Orleans was fighting uphill the whole way after that.
Yeah, there were two things that were evident to me in that ball game that I watched in the Bayou. One, Brian Flores deserves a lot of credit. And even though they are a product of their schedule, Scott, I mean, to keep the composure of this team, to keep them focused at 1-7, because 1-7 games in the NFL is not easy. I mean, look at the Los Angeles Chargers, 9.5-point road favorites. They get blown out by basically one of the worst teams in the NFL in the Houston Texans. So to maintain that composure, to maintain the intensity and to step up, not just on the defensive side of the ball, but we see the development more of Tua now. And love him or hate him, he is becoming more comfortable in the pocket and more comfortable in the offensive scheme. And the bigger question is this, because I was one of the backers that said, you know what, I'll take Deshaun Watson in any given moment over Tua. Is he now our quarterback of the future? Has he shown enough in this 7-game window where you say, okay, you know what, 2022 and beyond, this is our guy to lead our franchise to a potential Super Bowl appearance?
You know what? I may be contrarian here, but I think he's done just the opposite. I think he has shown enough. I think he's shown enough to show you that he's not, Joe. He stinks, Joe. He can't throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. I mean, don't get enamored in with this 7-game win streak. You know, they have one good win. And I said at the time, this is the key to it all. If they could beat Baltimore, then they got the Jets twice, the Giants, Carolina, and at the time, a bad Saints team. And as it turned out, the Saints got better, but then they got worse again with their quarterback situation. But Tua is throwing for 198, 196, 230, 158. He's throwing for nothing. Hey, he's not doing anything spectacular. They can't throw the ball down the field. They're going to play a good team, and they're going to get crushed. No, I mean, listen, I'm glad they're winning. Don't get me wrong. But to me, Tua is showing the world that he's not an NFL starting quarterback. Or something's wrong with that offense, whether it's the offensive line, which has first and second round draft choices all over it. But, you know, you're not going to win real football games throwing the ball 5 yards down the field. And that's what they've been able to get away with because of their awful schedule.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he's going to have to step up. Didn't make the big throw late in the third quarter to Mac Collins. That really changed the momentum at that particular time. Miami went in and tacked it on 17-3. Jaylen Waddle, another huge performance for the Miami Dolphins, set a record. When Scott and I come back, we will get you prepared for week number 17 in the NFL. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel breaking down the card for week number 17. We left off talking about the performance of the Miami Dolphins against the New Orleans Saints, and Sean Payton dominated that ball game offensively and defensively. Now the Dolphins go on the road to Nashville to face their former quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. They're 3-point dogs in this matchup, Scott. Tennessee did step up with that victory Thursday night over San Francisco. A.J. Brown had a big night. They got back with the passing game a little bit. Running game still non-existent with the loss of Derrick Henry. But, you know, you know, I look at Miami, and I said it in the break, that they match up well against the Tennessee Titans, I believe. Even from an offensive perspective, even though Tennessee's defense is opportunistic, I still like Waddle. I know that they utilize Gesicki. That's the main guy for Tua in the clutch. But they have to get Devontae Parker involved more. I'm not going to buck this train. I'm going to take the Dolphins on the road plus the 3 points. Even though it's going to be a tall order, I still think they could do it. I think they strike the upset against the Titans and Tannehill in Nashville this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think the Titans are scaring anybody, right? I mean, if they're out of all the playoff teams, maybe even more so than the Colts, who are going to finish probably second in the division with Tennessee winning the division. I think that would be the one division winner. You don't want to face Buffalo. You don't want to face Kansas City. You might not even want to face, the Cincinnati Bungles if it turns out to be them, right? It would be Tennessee. That would be the one, if you're a wild card team, that you wouldn't mind. Touchdown, Houston. You wouldn't be a wild card team. You wouldn't mind facing. So it is kind of ironic, though, to that it comes down to Ryan Tannehill. You know, the Dolphins would still probably have to beat the Patriots the following week to get in, but it is just kind of ironic that there's Ryan Tannehill, our good buddy, you know, right, that controls the Dolphins' destiny, because a loss would eliminate them for sure. So, but listen, they have a good, you know, I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's the perfect storm, you know. Any kind of luck, you know, the Dolphins will come out of that. The fact that they're only three-point underdogs tells you a little something, right? I mean, that's,
it,
you know,
does.
That they're finally getting some respect, the Dolphins.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that I believe Miami matches up very well against the Patriots. I believe they are a matchup nightmare, meaning they, when they match up against Buffalo, they cannot match up with the Bills. Against the Patriots, no problem. I'll bet on them against the Patriots on the road or at home, because I feel they just have the recipe. Mac Jones doesn't challenge them, at least didn't week one. He was a rookie. We'll see how this game goes out in another couple of weeks. But Buffalo, to me, no matter, you could put them on a neutral field, you could put them in a high school park, you could put them at the local park. There's no way right here, right now, Miami, for some reason, just doesn't match up in the interior against the Buffalo Bills. They just own them, and they don't have a recipe for Josh Allen in that offense. So I think they can get through Tennessee. I think they match up well against New England. But if they have to play Buffalo any type of situation in the playoffs, not going to be pretty in that environment.
Yeah. I mean, if just for the sake of argument, if you want to think, you want to continue to live the dream, Dolphins are still 55-1 to win the AFC. Not the Super Bowl, just the AFC. You know, the perfect storm would be they'd have to face the Colts in the first round and somehow or another have the Bengals knock off somebody and then face the Bengals in the second round, or the Browns if the Browns were to win. You know, whoever comes out of the AFC North. That would be the perfect storm. You know, a Cincinnati, Tennessee road to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, we saw a lot of heavy favorites covered this week, right? Outside the LA loss to Houston, it was Dallas dominating. We saw Miami on Monday night in primetime dominate. Just, you know, we saw the Rams step up as a 3.5-point favorite, dominate. So there were a lot of favorites that got healthy this week. When I look at just this slate overall, and there's some big spreads that we're going to go through. Obviously, Tampa Bay 13.5 over the Jets. We have the Bills 14 over the Falcons. The one dog that I just keep fixating on, and it's going against one of the hottest teams in the conference, is Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati right now, plus the 5.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. And this line the other day was 4.5. But I got to be honest with you. If there's one quarterback you're going to give me wood with, it's going to be Joe Burrow. And I don't care. You know, in a tough spot with the playoffs on the line, I'm going to take my chances. Even though it's Kansas City, it's that defense, I think he could attack them over the top. I'm still not sold on Kansas City being this elite defense. I think they could be a product of some inept teams. I mean, Pittsburgh, the way they dominated, now, granted, they did step up against some other teams. Dallas, they did handcuff, but they had some injuries too. Zeke was hurt. CeeDee Lamb got hurt for much of that game. They won that ball game by 10. I'm not sold on KC. I think Cincinnati can win this ball game outright.
Yeah, I know, boy, that would be a tough back-to-back, emotional, big, huge game against Baltimore. You know, Wink Martindale, the coordinator there, calling out Joe Burrow. This was like their Super Bowl. You know, they do have work to do. If they look at the big picture, if Pittsburgh doesn't beat Cleveland, then the Bengals would have to beat the Browns in the final week. So it is a big game for them. But, boy, I don't know. This Kansas City team, that they've done enough, you know, obviously over the last couple of years. Whatever wins they get, that they get to make. Defensively, yes. But, you know, they held Green Bay to 7 points. You know, they held Dallas to 9 points, albeit with some injuries. I mean, they held five teams in a stretch here of their 8-game win streak to under 10 points. That's pretty darn good, Joe. You got to admit, soft the schedule is. But Green Bay, Dallas, Denver, in Las Vegas, and in Pittsburgh. And in Pittsburgh, obviously, was a garbage time touchdown. 10 points or less.
I will say this. Green Bay was with Jordan Love. That was the game where COVID hit Aaron Rodgers, right? So he didn't play that game. Dallas, like I mentioned, that was a good victory. I think the Raider game was a dominant win. They shut them down. That was an offense that at that particular time was moving the football with Derek Carr, and we saw what they were able to do against Denver and then backed it up in back-to-back weeks now. So, I agree with you. It's just – I just think that they have the offensive weapons. I mean, if we're looking just at the line, Scotty, right? I mean, team that's won basically 6-7 games in a row, they're only laying 5.5 on a team that really hasn't stepped up for all that much in terms of Cincinnati. I mean, to be plus 194 on the money line against the top team in the conference, you don't think that's a little light? You don't think they should be at least plus 220, 230 for Joe Burrow and the Bengals? They're plus 194.
Yeah, how big a favorite do you want Kansas City to be? I mean, they're almost a touchdown, 5.5 points. You got to give Cincy some respect, but I think that line is okay. I mean, I thought it would have been even a little lower, or at least maybe I was hoping, you know, because my predetermined notion was I was going to play Kansas City because I didn't think the Bengals would be able to come back down to earth after their huge win, and I still do believe that, but I thought that line was a little higher, at least than what I wanted. I thought it would be 3.5 to 4.5, to tell you the truth.
Now, can they play? Can they get into a shootout? Do you think Cincinnati wants to get into a shootout? I mean, 49.5 right now is the total, which would seem like astronomical if you think about it because of the way the Kansas City defense is playing, right? I mean, it just based off that, you got to figure, okay, Cincinnati's only going to get 17. Does Cincinnati allow basically 33 to Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City offense on the road?
I could see this one being a shootout one way or the other after watching what, the Sunday, what happened with Baltimore. I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, but seeing them throw the football all over the place, I think they would want a shootout. You know, you don't say that too often, but I got a feeling with the Bengals' offensive weapons and Burrow and everything, I think they would welcome one. Like, let's go toe to toe. Let's see what we could do. So
right.
Like, I do
no
like the
defense.
Over 49.5. Yeah, I don't think, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. The weather's okay
so
and everything.
Too. I think if you're Cincinnati, you have to push tempo. You don't want to get into this ugly, grind it out. Let's utilize the rushing game. Let's hope we can pull it out in the fourth quarter. If this game looks like it did a couple of weeks ago when they went on the road to Denver and pulled that ball game out, 15-10, they're going to lose that style of game. I mean, we know that Kansas City can play both ways, but if push comes to shove, you want Joe Burrow lighting it up for over 400 in this ball game and getting the football to those playmakers like T. Higgins, like Jamar Chase and the crew. So we'll see how that game plays out. 1 o'clock kick. When Scott and I return, we'll talk about that ball game in Baltimore. Ravens taking on the Rams coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation for NFL action week number 17, a team that's bouncing back into form and getting ready for the playoffs happens to be the LA Rams. And they stepped up on Monday night, Scott, about 3 weeks ago, got that victory as basically a 1.5-point dog against Kyler Murray and the crew. They followed it up with a Tuesday night win over Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. The refs gave them that cover, by the way. They shouldn't have won that ball game by 10, but that being said, they did pull that game out 20-10, and they followed it up with another gutty road win against the Minnesota Vikings. This was a very close game for much of the first half. They built basically a double-digit lead, 10 points in the fourth quarter, and held on for the 7-point victory. Now they go on the road to face a beaten-down Baltimore Raven team, right? Josh Johnson got the start late last week. They got blown out as a 7-point underdog to Joe Burrow and the crew. I got to be honest with you, even though I don't love Baltimore in this spot, I was on Cincinnati last week. I'm going to say something that's probably going to upset a lot of people. I don't think LA's that good. I'm sorry. I don't think Stafford, McVay, Cooper Kupp, I know the fantasy demon, and he's making people tons of money. I don't think they're that good. I'm sorry. I think, this defense is mediocre, average at best, and I think they could be beat. I don't know if Baltimore can beat them, but I'll still take a shot plus the 3.5. I think the way to beat L.A. is you have to pound it right down their throat. Aaron Donald making all that money, run it right up the middle because they give up a ton of yards. Give me Baltimore outright over the Rams in this spot.
Yeah, I think that Ravens team's in trouble. Listen, we don't know. It could be Lamar. It could be any of those three quarterbacks. So, really, this would be a tough spot to pick on Tuesday. But, you know, if it's Lamar, I give him a better chance, obviously. If it's Huntley, I give him the second-best chance. And even Josh Johnson did play. You know, he wasn't horrible. You know, he wasn't, you know, Jake Fromm-like or Ian Book-like against Cincinnati. So, you know, he's the veteran quarterback that put up some halfway decent numbers. I agree with you. I mean, I've always been an anti-Matthew Stafford guy. That's where, you know, I draw the line. It's not so much the other guys, they have the weapons, and Cooper Kupp is amazing. I mean, he is a fantasy. His fantasy numbers now are like close to 100 yards. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. You know, does anybody guard this guy? Does anybody look at game films and say, we better stick two guys on this guy? It is remarkable. But I think that, you know, every once in a while, you just got to remind yourself what happens one week doesn't necessarily happen the next week. And Baltimore getting blown out like that, you know, just tends to make you think, okay, the Ravens aren't any good. It's been a struggle now, though, for them, Joe. Four straight losses. Good teams, all of them, you know, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Green Bay, and then Cincinnati. But, boy, I don't know. The Rams basically kept Minnesota in the game. The Vikings didn't do a whole heck of a lot, if not for Matthew Stafford throwing ridiculous interceptions. I mean, they gave Minnesota all their points. So I think they're going to shore it up. I like the Rams on the road.
Are you sold on their defense, though? Do you really think this defense is Super Bowl
like it
worthy?
Was. Yeah, it's not like it, when they went to the Super Bowl that year, 3 years ago, whatever it was. That was a great, great, great defense. This one has been a little more susceptible to giving up some yards.
Yeah,
but I don't think Baltimore in this game, though. You know, again, it depends on who's quarterbacking, but, you know, they don't run the ball. They can't run the ball. So that notion of running them down their throats, that's not going to happen with Baltimore.
No, but I will say this, though. In terms of mobile quarterbacks, right, that's what obviously Baltimore has in all three guys.
Right.
Josh Johnson, not as much. Obviously, Huntley is, I think, a spitting image of Lamar Jackson, just obviously a step slower than Lamar. But in terms of taking it from point A to point B, you would say that the mobile quarterback, if it is Huntley, at the very least, that would pose a problem in the sense of putting some pressure on that L.A. Ram defense and front seven, and now you have another option where you can sustain drives, you can run the football, because I still think that they're susceptible to the run. I think teams in the playoffs are going to run down their throat. I haven't seen them step up. Look at last year. I mean, when they had to get a stop against Aaron Rodgers and that team, Aaron Jones had a big day. They couldn't shut down anybody for Green Bay in that loss on the road. And I don't think it's going to change now. Yeah, they're compiling wins against teams that are sort of struggling right now, and it looks good on paper. But I think that loss, when they were 7-point home favorites to Tennessee about week number 6 or 7, I think that's the L.A. Rams in a nutshell. I really do. I don't know if they're as tough as everybody makes them out to be. And again, flip a coin on the day that Stafford plays well or he's going to throw a pick 6 in a playoff environment.
Yeah, well, that again, I don't trust him at all. But I will tell you this, as far as the running game goes, let's look at the NFC teams real quickly. A game against Arizona, are they going to run the ball Arizona down your throat? No. A game against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, could they run? Yeah,
yes.
But, you know, ultimately it's Tampa Bay throwing the football. Green Bay, same thing. Could they run with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, but or with Aaron Jones. But ultimately you're worrying about the pass, right? Dallas would be the one with Zeke and Pollard that they could go into that game saying, all right, let's really attack them running the football. That would really be the only one, Joe. Philadelphia going to run the ball if they're a wild card team or Minnesota? You know, Dalvin Cook,
well, Minnesota
maybe.
Would.
But we just
Minnesota
saw.
Minnesota would. Minnesota
yeah, but we just saw Minnesota,
attack.
Though.
Yeah, yeah but it was,
you know,
without Cook.
No, without Cook, right. You're right, without Cook. But,
Well,
you know, I don't know.
This,
I don't think there's
Scott.
That many teams that run the ball anymore.
No,
that
I know,
legitimately run the ball down your throats.
You're right. But if you look at the Super Bowl run by Tampa Bay last year, it was all Fournette. As much as it was Brady, Fournette carried that team in the playoff wild card win against against Washington, against New Orleans. He stepped up. He had a big performance against Green Bay. Rush for, oh, remember he had the touchdown run? They were pounding the rock and keeping Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines. On the flip side, you look at Green Bay. As much as Rodgers chucks it, they rely on Aaron Jones, but now A.J. Dillon's gotten involved. And they have two backs that they can go to. I'm just saying, just keep an eye out. I think if you want to beat L.A. in the playoffs, you pound the rock on Aaron Donald in that front seven. I know they pay them a lot of money, but I'm not buying it. And then, like you said, with Stafford on the crew, I'm going to take the 3.5 here. I'm going to hope at least it's Huntley. And I think with Huntley, at least you have a shot in this ball game. They're laying such a short number. Why isn't this line, after they just basically dominated Minnesota, why isn't this line with that defense for Baltimore that just got ripped for 525? Why aren't they laying 4.5, 5.5 like what we see with Kansas City?
That I'm a little surprised with, right? that you know, the Kansas City line I think is right, but this one is a little light. That is kind of strange. You know, back to back road games for the Rams. Maybe that's it. I'm not sure what their schedule is going to be. You know, they went to Minnesota. They coming back home before they fly to Baltimore, or are they going right to Baltimore? I'm guessing they're going to go right to Baltimore, but who knows with all this COVID stuff. Maybe they wouldn't want to have these guys out. I have to check their flight plans and see where they're at this week. But that does, I must say, that does seem a little light for as bad as Baltimore has looked. But, you know, I'm guessing if they announce that Lamar's not playing, and it doesn't look like he's playing anytime soon, I bet that thing does shoot up to 5.5.
Yeah, it might. I mean, you know, Rams are a public bet team, and people either love or hate Stafford. So depending upon the side of the fence that you're on, that's what you got in terms of that ball game. I still like Baltimore. If it goes over 4, I like them even more. Another team is a big battle in the NFC. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay laying 6.5 against Minnesota and Zimmer. They did it again, right? Just when you buy in to Minnesota, you're like, okay, Minnesota's starting to find their way. They're catching 3.5. They don't show up against the LA Rams. They're on the road in Lambeau. Now, I'm assuming Dalvin Cook will be available for this game. They're plus 6.5 at minus 114. Remember, Dalvin Cook had a huge game last year in the victory in Lambeau. Had a 50-yard screen pass, touchdown, did it on the ground as well. I'm going to take the Vikings with the points here. I'm going to take the Vikings and the over in this ball game. Minnesota, Green Bay, I always lean to the over there, but I like Minnesota to be within this number on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I love the over, 47.5. Yeah, you're right. These teams play high-scoring games for whatever reason. And they're generally like real good games, good little wars, back and forth. It's the one team in the NFC North that doesn't really back down to Green Bay, right? They own the Bears. They own the Lions. Minnesota gives them some fight over the years. Green Bay's numbers are phenomenal, you know, 12-2 straight up, 11-3 against the spread, including 6-1 at home. But they just failed to cover against Cleveland, so maybe that little stretch is coming to a little blip. So I think Minnesota, you've been given, they got, I'll tell you what, are they a cat or what? 9 lies to this Vikings team. Every time you turn around, you buy in, then they lose, then you say, okay, they're done. Then you look at the standings and you start saying, well, wait a minute, mathematically, though, they're still right there. You know, they still kind of control their own destiny. Win 2 games, as difficult as it'll be, but win a couple of games, and I bet the Vikings make the playoffs. So that is a big number, and I would side towards Minnesota as well.
Yeah, it's the night game. I made a mistake. It is the Sunday night game in Lambeau Field. So we know Kirk Cousins in primetime, although he did step up as a 7-point favorite on the road in Soldier Field, pulled that ball game by 8, where they scored on the last play of the game. And, oh, by the way, didn't go for the extra point. I wonder why. Just saying, I know they don't have to, but that's a little odd as well in terms of that situation, right?
Yeah, and here's one thing with the Vikes getting 6.5, nearly a touchdown. All but one game this year for them has been a one-score game, and 19 of their last 22 dating back to last year. So you got a team that plays close games, and now you're getting almost a touchdown. Not bad.
I know, but yeah, but I took them last week off that premise. Now, I will say, I took them plus the 3.5 free kick, and then they were losing in the first quarter. I took them plus 7.5 in-game. And they kick a field goal when they're down by 10 because they didn't have enough time. So they did the right thing in that situation. They were down 10, 30 seconds left. Zimmer, the best decision he made all year, he kicks the field goal to give them a shot at the onside kick, and that's how they cover the end game. So amazing that actually Zimmer made the right call in that type of situation. Scott and I both like the Vikings plus the 6.5 in that matchup. When we come back, we'll break down San Francisco and Houston coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Ripping through the card. We're going to jump into some of the weekly specials on FanDuel. They do a fantastic job. It's one of the things Scott and I love breaking down in terms of the odds. Bang for your buck. Scott has got a lot of bills. He's got a lot of money that he needs to win. A lot of money he needs to pay. So, Scott, before we do that, though, I did want to talk about this game, San Francisco and Houston. Out of all the games last week, okay, did you really think that, even though Mike Williams and Austin Eckler didn't play, did you really think that the L.A. Chargers, as 9.5-point road favorites, would go into Houston and lose by 12? Out of all the games last week, that's the one that you have to say, oh, come on. You let Davis Mills, you let that offense abuse you for 41 points? Are you kidding me? Now, I know Houston has shown glimpses this year. I mean, if you take some of their wins, they're not bad. I mean, they get that victory by 12 points, right, as a 9.5-point home dog. They got the victory basically on the road as a 10.5-point dog against Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans after they were on a heater of like five games in a row. Granted, it was no Derrick Henry, but they went toe-to-toe too, as well, and lost the ball game with New England, if you remember, earlier in the year. So yeah, they have played some of the better teams in the AFC fairly tough, but I don't think anybody saw this game coming with Justin Herbert and the crew.
Yeah, I didn't. This is the one that ruined all the teasers, no doubt about it. You know, they were an automatic play. You're getting them basically at pick'em, right? Even without Eckler, Mike Williams is okay, but, you know, Eckler was the one. But still, it's Houston, right? I mean, there's just no way they were going to lose that game. I think we're ready. Listen, Herbert's going to be good, and he is good. You know, just look at Ian Book and Jake Fromm this weekend, and you could appreciate maybe Herbert and some of these other guys that have done so well their first and second years. But I think we want to anoint this Charger team like they're the greatest thing in the world, and they're just not. I mean, that is knowing that they had to win that game, knowing that this thing's going to come right down to the wire. Boy, you have two tough division games after this one, Denver and Vegas. Boy, I that's unexplainable to me. You lose to the Houston Texans. I mean, that is just awful.
Not just lose, but you got abused. They were playing from behind the whole game.
The whole way. Yeah.
The whole way. It's like, Stanley, what are you doing? Wake up.
I'm not in love with him at all. Listen, he won't be one and done, but I think it's fitting if they don't make the playoffs just because of some of the dumb decisions he has made this year, you know, going for it from his own 20-yard line and different goofy things that we point out week after week after week with him. I'm rooting against them because I just don't think you should reward a coach who does some of the crazy things that he does during these games.
Yeah, and now the book said, okay, you know what? Everybody's going to jump on we're going to suck them in yet again here. We're going to establish a line in San Francisco this week. And where they opened it at 15, that was before the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo in the sense of we didn't know
that's
the severity
number,
of it.
Right,
right now it's 13.5, so it's okay. Yeah. Trey Lance making a start, but we only go from 15 down to 13.5. And granted, San Francisco's playing lights out, but at the end of the day, on the defensive side of the ball, let me just say that. Right. On the defensive side of the ball. But Houston's moving the football. This is two games in a row. They tacked on 30 and 40. I mean, I think they could get some points in this matchup. I'm not saying they're gonna be within striking distance within the fourth quarter, but you're telling me they can't stay within two touchdowns on the road, even though it's a West Coast game in in San Francisco. But you're telling me you don't like? I love Houston. I love the over here.
Out of the four double-digit dogs, I give Houston the best chance of maybe winning. Again, not saying they will, but if I'm going to take one, Jets are knocking off Tampa Bay. You might say the Falcons at Buffalo just because they're still in it playoff-wise, but I don't think the Falcons are going to Buffalo. Matt Ryan hasn't thrown for 150 yards in like 3 years. And I'm not – what was the other – the one last one? There's another one that was a 10-pointer. But it would be Houston that would be the one that I'd say, all right, you know – all things. Oh, Jacksonville and New England.
Jacksonville's 15 and a half.
Yeah, they're not beating the Patriots. Yeah, knowing the Patriots have the Dolphins the following, they have to win this game. So it would be Houston. Hell, listen, they've won two in a row. Remember, they beat Jacksonville 2 weeks ago. They got a little roll going here. They clearly are playing for their head coach. I will say this, Davis Mills' numbers are clearly better at home than they are on the road. That would be my only alarming thing. I mean, if you look at the splits, it is like night and day. His numbers at home versus on the road, and this is obviously a road game. So,
but he is a Stanford kid coming back to the state of California. So
that's
I just have to throw that in there. You know, Davis Mills with a little, you know, California loving there. I'm not saying he doesn't have to win the game. Just keep it within 14, Davis. Keep it within 13. Make believe you're playing Oregon here.
And I will say this, you know, if you remember back preseason, now it's a long time ago, don't get me wrong, but Trey Lance did not look good in the preseason games that he played. Again, 4 months ago, a lot has happened. I'm sure, you know, a little more acclimated to the system there, but it's not like
he was
in that
one game.
Yeah, he was
awful.
Arizona,
17-10.
Oh, earlier in the year? Okay, yeah.
Didn't look impressed.
No.
The one thing about Trey Lance, and, you know, I said this coming out of college, and people are like, why? He's an inconsistent quarterback. He's an inconsistent guy. He completed 63% of his passes at the FCS level. We're not talking about an efficient passer. We're not talking about a guy that's going to complete 25 of 30 passes. And granted, it is Houston. But even against Houston, he's probably going to go 15 of 30 if they give him that opportunity. Maybe 50%, maybe 55%. I don't see him, unless we're throwing three-yard passes to Deebo Samuel in terms of a hitch or a bubble screen, then he'll complete more. But if we're talking down-the-field throws, I don't see Trey Lance putting up 400 yards against the Houston defense this weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. And if I'm the Texans, I'm blitzing him. I'm not letting him have a free pocket there to scramble and roam around a little bit. It's funny, you know, Josh Allen had, mediocre numbers at Wyoming. Carson Wentz had mediocre numbers at North Dakota State.
Yep.
But, you know, then it turned out to be halfway decent pros. It didn't happen overnight. But it didn't happen overnight for either one of those two. So
no, but the thing at least with Josh Allen, and I'm still not sold on Wentz. I bash Wentz all the time. But, I mean, at least Wyoming played FBS competition. If you can't complete 68%, 70% of your passes in at the FCS level, where the drop-off from week to week in terms of the competition that you're playing, especially when you're playing at the Alabama of the SCS level in North Dakota State. It wasn't like he was playing at Montana State or another program that was maybe a middle-of-the-road type of program. They were getting the top athletes at the FCS level. So the best offensive line, the best defensive line, the best wide receivers, and you're only completing 63% of your passes? Not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But I like the points. I do like the points in the game.
Would you take a shot on them on the money line?
I'm a money line guy, so I'm always love those big numbers. You know, those big bills. I love those big numbers. So I will tell you this: Houston on the road has one double digit loss, 2-3-4, 4-1. Somehow they beat Tennessee, 4-2, 4-2. So four out of their six road losses have come by double digits.
Okay.
So, but they have, on the positive side, they've won their last two road games at Tennessee and at Jacksonville.
That's enough for me. I'm back in Houston in this ballgame. I'm going to put them on the money line tease.
Yeah. There you go.
give me Houston in this ballgame. All right. So FanDuel has a lot of weekly specials up. Let's dive right into the big ones, Scotty, because I know you're wetting the palate here. You're chomping at the bit. So here's one for you. Tom Brady to complete a 50-plus yard pass. They're 13.5-point favorites on the road to face New York. You buying that? At plus 350 for touchdown Tommy Brady.
Wow, that's cold it. Huh? No other hook, no other like that he's got to have 10 completions or any of those goofy little things.
50-yard completion.
Yeah, I would, and it's against the Jets. You know he wants to run up the score, right? He always enjoys. Oh, no, this is Jacksonville, sorry. No, it is Jets. Yeah.
It's the Jets. I'm thinking
Patriots. Right. Yeah, I still can't Brady and the Patriots in there yet.
Come on, Scotty.
You mix your metaphors here. It's Patriots love to beat the Jets, and it's Brady. Yeah, okay. I would think that would be okay. With Antonio Brown back, he's the key. I would think you'd have a halfway decent shot against that Jets secondary. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's one that I happen to like, and we talked it back and forth. Tua and Tannehill square off this week.
Right.
Each to throw for 2+ touchdowns. Now, we saw A.J. Brown step up on that Thursday night. We just saw Tua hit Waddle on a number of plays. Mac Collins getting involved. 4-1 for each player to have 2+ touchdown throws in this ballgame. I like that, actually.
Tannehill, yes. You know, I think that's, that would be my lesser of the two concerns. Tua tags at 4-1.
Miami's
to one,
not going to run
not,
on them.
They won't. Them. Yeah, then that would Duke Johnson in the yeah. I could see that. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a shootout. Then you're not limited the first half, so maybe get a
one,
garbage
Scott.
Time. Yeah,
we're dangling a 4-1.
I like Brady for 50 better, but I for 4-1, I would take a small play on that. Yeah.
Here's one I know you're going to unload the bank. You're going to have the wife go into the lockbox, take out all the cash that you have. You ready for this one? Sunday night game, Green Bay, Minnesota. Davante Adams, who we know is Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. He's like Cooper Kupp, right? At least 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Justin Jefferson with the Minnesota Vikings, each player to have 100+ receiving and 1 touchdown receiving, right? Or just 1 touchdown each. 8-1, Scott. 8-1.
Wow. That's not bad. Are we going to get 100 receiving yards out of Jefferson? That would be the sticking point there.
Well, you could look at it two ways. If Cook plays, he's going to be obviously the main cog of that offense. He did have 4 touchdowns in that performance last year on the road in Green Bay. I would suggest get a weather report. Look, if it's cold, if it's there. Now, they utilized a run on Monday night, Minnesota, right, before this weekend's games against the Bears. And their secondary was decimated. So Zimmer went the complete opposite. The Bears had weaknesses in the secondary. Zimmer said, we're going to attack them. We're going to run the football every play. So he's always known for doing the opposite, right? That's how moronic he is. So if you think that you could attack Green Bay on the ground with Cook, you might have a shot with Jefferson getting over 100 in this ballgame.
He's had over 100 6 times, and in the shootouts, like we both think this will be, he generally has gone over 100. So 8-1, that's not bad.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah, another I would take track of that.
Here's another one at 6-1. Keenan Allen, Javonte Williams to combine for 3 touchdowns as well. FanDuel putting up great props. We'll wrap it up coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, wrapping up today's show, I was going to continue with the weekly special, Scott, but we didn't bring this game up, but the line has drastically changed from basically the last hour. When we got on air, Indianapolis was a 7.5-point favorite over the Las Vegas Raiders. Now it's down to 6. So there has to be news out within the last hour that changed basically a point and a half where we are right now. I don't know if it's obviously Wentz, if it's Taylor, but, I mean, a point and a half over the last 50 minutes is definitely something's up in this ballgame. And I like Las Vegas, to be honest with you. I liked them over a touchdown at the start of the week, but now it's 6. I still lean to the Raiders. I still think they're playing with house money here.
They are. You know, with an interim head coach, you never know. You know, I mean, I don't know how they view if it's house money or, you know, are we winning one for the Gipper to keep his job or whatever the case may be. So, do they move on from Derek Carr? It's always subject to trade rumors. Do they tear the whole thing down? I don't know about that. But they're in a position. It's a big game. Remember what? I think it was 2 years ago. I lost my survivor pool because the Raiders went into Indianapolis and beat the Colts. So that number was a little high to begin with, to tell you the truth. I thought that number was a little fat, over a touchdown. I like the Raiders as well. They seem to play a little better on the road. You know, whenever you don't think they're going to win, they win. Whenever you think they're going to win, they lose. So I like the Raiders getting the 6 points.
Yeah, but you would have to agree, right? Something's got to be up with this
game. Oh, yeah, something, I mean, yeah.
And I'm looking now to see if there's any news with the Colts, whether it be Taylor, whether it be Wentz, whether it be Pittman. I can't get anything right now. Nothing coming up across the wire, I'm sure. Listen, we always say this.
Yeah.
The books know before anybody, right?
By the end of the day, we'll know.
If you think you know, the books are already 7 steps ahead.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. The books have the information we don't. For Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We're going to be here the rest of the week, taking you through the new year. Have a great day tomorrow.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.